receive his blessings. Our apologies for not having a radio program last week. We thought we had discovered what the problem was, and we're not totally sure. We do not have a radio program this week. Hoy vey. So they're on the phone with the radio station. They think they know what the problem is, but there just isn't time to address it. So if you hear people complain, yes, we are aware and we're working on it. Today's the last day of Sunday school, and then we go into our summer break, and then Memorial Day weekend. And then remember, please, in June, we go back to one service at 9 o'clock, followed by Bible class, not Sunday school, but we will have Bible class. So depending on how long the sermon is, it'll be 10:15, 10:30 or so when we have Bible class. I hope you'll join us for Bible class. Just, I'm told they used to have lots of people before COVID. Hopefully that comes back, because we have fun, and I hope you'll join us. Speaking of changes to the worship schedule, our chairman of the elders, Bob Lau. Now, if I remember correctly, I'm supposed to say really, really nice things about you, because that's what Pastor Griffin always did.
Yeah.
You have it. Yeah.
He romanced the storm. All right. Good morning. Thanks for coming. Just to let you know, member concerns in regarding the changes that we were going to make in the fall for the church schedule. So what we are going to do is at our July voters meeting, we're going to let the congregation decide what they do want to do as far as our fall schedule. So we're going to still keep the summer schedule at 9 o'clock, just like Pastor Lauer said, one service only, and we're going to vote on this at the July voters meeting. Thank you.
So more information to come and decisions to be made. Thank you, Bob. Today is the day of Pentecost. I think we're using divine service setting 2, our opening hymn number 504, Father Most Holy. Please stand.
Oh,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit,
In the glory of God the Father, Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. Today's first reading comes from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them. And flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are clean cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. With the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The second reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare it to you, the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 650.
Thank you.
God's grace and peace to each of you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today, we acknowledge and celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, the whole church at that time, and not just the 12 disciples, but all of those who were the believers at that time. Those who were gathered in the temple courts 10 days after our Lord's ascension into heaven. Jesus had told them that he would send the Holy Spirit. He had told them to wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit had been given. And now, on the next Jewish festival after the Passover, it was called Pentecost because it was 50 days after the Passover, when there are again thousands of people that have come to the temple from throughout the Roman Empire, this miracle occurs. Something which is visible, and what God usually does invisibly, today he does visibly and audibly. He gives the Holy Spirit, who gives life, the Lord and giver of life. Do you remember back in Genesis, God breathed into Adam the breath of life? And we heard about it again in Ezekiel, that God gives the breath to the dry bones. And in the Hebrew, breath, wind, spirit, all the same word. God gives the Holy Spirit. The faith of a believer is always invisible to other believers, but the presence and work of the Holy Spirit usually isn't. So you can't see another person's faith, but you can see the Holy Spirit working through their life. And it wasn't just the tongues of fire that people saw, but also the miracle of the believers speaking in languages they had never been taught. Those people who had come to Jerusalem for the festival from throughout the Roman Empire heard the good news about Jesus in their own native language. In the Jewish temple, one normally hears people speaking either in Aramaic, which is a more modern version of Hebrew, or in the international language of the Romans, which at that time was Greek. But to hear Jewish men from Israel speaking in the languages of the world, in people's own languages, that would have been unheard of. We might compare this to having visions from around the world, or rather visitors from around the world, in the chambers of our U.S. House of Representatives. So people from China and Russia and Ukraine and India and Pakistan and, well, Australians, they'd speak English, but people from all around the world in the chambers of the U.S. House of Representatives. Just imagine that. And they all hear the business being conducted by our Congress in their own languages. If you're from China, for example, you don't expect to visit the U.S. Congress and hear people speaking Chinese. You'd rightly expect that they'd be speaking English. And in the temple courts of Jerusalem, you do not expect the word of God being proclaimed in Latin or Libyan or Lithuanian, but everybody heard it in their own language. We know that this wasn't a miracle going on just in the ears of the people, but the leaders and the workers and the locals gathered in the temple also heard all these different languages, but to them, it sounded like gibberish because they didn't speak Elamite or what have you. To them, this must have sounded like just chaos. But to the thousands of visitors, truly a miracle. Peter, standing up with the 11, we're told, had to explain to the locals, if you will, the Aramaic-speaking others in the temple who didn't live in foreign countries, they lived and worked right here in Jerusalem, that this wasn't just babbling. These were real languages, and there were people present who could understand them. And this was also the fulfillment of what the prophets had said was going to happen, that God's Spirit would be poured out on everyone, individually, Whether male or female, young or old, local or foreign. Again, this isn't just the 11 disciples. This is perhaps 120 or more. I think Paul says in one spot it's 125 there. As I've already said, on this very special day, God made visible what is usually invisible. But what I want to show you today is that ever since that day, when everyone could see and hear the Holy Spirit at work, God is still, to our day, showing his presence and his work, except that only those who believe it can see it and recognize it and appreciate it. I want to point out a few examples of what I'm talking about. Nearly two decades ago or so, I was in a congregation and we were moving into a new building. And we really didn't know. It was great on Sunday morning. We had Sunday school rooms and a nice sanctuary and so forth. But the building sat empty during the week. And some people are thinking, well, maybe we should have a daycare. That was a big deal back then. And wow, what would it take to do that? Well, before you ever start making money, you gotta spend money. And we did the calculations and figured, well, it'd be about $25,000 we'd have to spend just to get the doors open before anybody ever paid for childcare. But where would we get that kind of money? And if we did, in that little town, well, it's not huge, it's not small, but in that town, where would you find somebody who's licensed and able to set up a brand new daycare? Somebody who knows how to deal with the state licensing agencies and the social services in the county. Where are you going to find such a person? So this is what we decided. If God gave us the funds, and if God gave us the purpose, then we would, or the person, then we would do it. A few weeks later, after church one day, a man kind of pointed at me and said, "Come over here." And he said, "Dad wants to make another gift to the congregation." He's a really rather wealthy guy. I said, "Well, what are we talking?" "Oh, about $25,000. That same day, my wife is talking to somebody while I'm in the narthex talking to Craig and Augie. Anne's in the sanctuary talking to a friend. "You can't hear me?" "Okay, I can speak up." "Got it. I don't mind you telling me to speak up." Anne's in the sanctuary talking to a friend who's saying, "You know, I've been running the daycare for the school, public schools, for years and years, and I'm just tired of it. I really don't want to do it anymore. But I don't want to work on my house and create a daycare in my own house. That's going to cost too much money. If I had some place to go, I would." Can it be that easy? Does God really provide blessings like that? I'm here to tell you, he does. And if you are looking for them, you will see them too. In our congregation, in your family, in the world. When we say, "God, deliver us," and within a year we have a vaccine. And not only for ourselves, but one that we can share with people from around the world. You say, "Oh, that's just science." Who gave us the science? Who gave us the scientists at a time when there's 7 billion people on the planet? Can you imagine if a virus like that ran rampant and so many were killed? But we have an opportunity by the grace of God that God has provided yet again what we needed at the right time. That's the way God works. This isn't to say that every congregation should open a daycare or that they would experience the same results. Rather, every Christian, every congregation should say, what has God given us to do and what has God given us to do it with? Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, says to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Well, now, how are they supposed to do that? these fishermen and tax collector and whatnot from Galilee. They're going to do it by God's gift. For Jesus sent them the Comforter. Jesus sent them the breath of God, who filled the prophets with the word of God, and now fills them with the good news of life and salvation, and even gives them the ability to speak the languages that they had never heard before. What God asks them to do, he makes them able to do. That's where we see the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. I see the same sort of thing, you know, every time I have a confirmation class, 7th and 8th graders, whatnot, and you're trying to get across to them. You know, they're going from mom and dad, maybe go to church and maybe go to Sunday school, but now in confirmation, you're trying to teach them that, you know, what this is all means and how it makes a difference in their life. And I can teach and teach and teach and teach. But frankly, when they come to faith and they confess their faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Savior of the world, when they can go through the creed, which we spoke at their baptism, but now they've learned it and confess it as their own. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yep, I buy it. That's a miracle. It's the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. Because frankly, I'm not that good a teacher. But the Holy Spirit is. So, I suppose that as a pastor, I get to see that in people more often than most. And I don't think we talk enough with each other about our hopes and our fears and our faith that in Jesus, he takes away our sins and he fills us with our hope. You have the miracles in your own lives. But if you don't share them with one another, there I was, didn't know what to do, and God provided me what I needed. I was able to do what he asked me to do. I didn't want to do it, maybe. Didn't think it would ever happen to me, maybe. But whatever it is that God has asked of me, I was able to do. Isn't that what happens every time a new couple has their first child? You think, oh, we're going to start a family, isn't that great? And then suddenly you've got this screaming infant. How in the world am I going to do this? God makes you able to do it. So it is the way that God works in us. Why do we have faith in this? We learned about Jesus through our parents and teachers, but they didn't give us faith. We read about it, we learned about it from the Bible stories and the Sunday school books and from the Bible and hopefully a sermon or two, but that's not why people believe it. We've heard preachers and parents, and maybe you've even had a spouse or a really good friend who's told you about their faith, but that doesn't do it either. Why does anybody come to faith? Faith is the invisible work of God the Holy Spirit who points us to Jesus, our Savior, and says, believe. And not only asks us to believe, but makes us able to believe. That's the invisible miracle, which is just like the invisible Spirit of God being poured out upon the disciples at the Feast of Pentecost that year. How this changes your life is the miracle that others can see and hear in you. And this is so much more powerful than any lesson or sermon or study. We'll teach your Sunday school, your kids in Sunday school and confirmation class. We've got good hymns and hopefully a good sermon once in a while, but letting your children hear you and see you living by faith, that is the most important tool that the Holy Spirit can use to give them the same faith. For the world will never know the love of God in Jesus Christ through preaching or listening to sermons. The world will not be convinced by the testimony of the Bible, because if they don't believe in God, they won't ever believe in the Bible, but they know you. People know you and they watch you and they listen to you more than you may think. And they see in you that you have fears but aren't overcome by them. They see that you have troubles in life but that you still have hope. They hear in your words that there are things more important and things more valuable and more lasting than what the world says. They see the miracle of your faith. And by that, the Holy Spirit works in their lives. Faith in Jesus is still the invisible miracle that comes by the work of the Holy Spirit. But instead of tongues and fire, you know, the tongues of fire, you are the visible miracle which others can see and hear to know that God is present and doing great things. And as we watch our children grow, we see the shift from the faith which is only invisible, the faith given in their baptism, and then, God willing, you start to see the visible faith coming out of them also. What a joy it is to have a former eighth grade confirmation kid now grown up and married and bringing their child to baptism. Wow. I expect that one day my own children may do the same, not because it's just what we do in our family, but because they want their child to have their children to have the same forgiveness, life, and salvation that they have. We were there when the Holy Spirit once worked invisibly. And God willing, we get to see and hear for ourselves what the result of that is. We get to see and hear what was once unseen. The Holy Spirit is here today, and He has work for us, and He has given us what we need as individuals and as a congregation to do whatever it is He's asked for us. Do you see it in your life? Do you see it in each other? Do you see it in this congregation? You can't. Unless you look for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Now may that peace from God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds steadfast to the true faith until life everlasting. Amen. We confess our faith by speaking together the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the forgiveness, life, and salvation earned for us by Your Son, Jesus, upon the cross. And we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit who has delivered that salvation to each of us in baptism, in Your Word, in the words of other Christians who remind us of Your presence and Your promise. When You deliver to us also the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation in the body and blood of our Lord's Supper. In so many ways, You deliver to us, even in our day and place and time, all of your blessings. Give us that faith, we pray, to receive them with thanksgiving. Give us that faith, we pray, that puts those gifts to work as you have called us to do, but to do so in a way that you would have enabled us to do. Help us to support and defend one another, to encourage one another in living in faith and in trusting in you, especially in difficult times, times of sorrow or sickness or trouble. We pray for all of those today we know of to be in any trouble of body, mind, and spirit. Especially today, we pray for Dennis Cole and Janice Keenan, who are in hospice care. We pray for Dwayne Weifels, who's been hospitalized. We pray for Reverend Stanley Rosenau, who was hospitalized and back home and hospitalized and now back home, and we pray that you would give him strength and breath and joy in your presence. We pray for Arlene Bucher and Fran Hirsch as they recover. We ask your blessing upon Tim Andry as he undergoes treatment. Remember those far from us who we worry about and pray for, those that we can't assist or defend. We pray for those who are the ones who go out and defend and protect and serve others where we cannot, especially those overseas serving for the cause of peace, those who answer quickly to emergencies, those who watch over our communities and our nation. We pray for the missionaries whom we know and support through our circuit, and we pray that you would bless their work with your Spirit's power. All of this, we pray, confident in your mercy and asking for your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom,
and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take away the sin.
Take away.
Please stand for the dismissal, and then we'll sing the Nunc Dimittis. Now may this, the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 895, Now Thank We All Our God. Stand.